From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series of studies in the life of Abraham as he brings the opening portion of a message entitled Light Brightening the Darkness of Death. In Genesis chapter 23, Abraham, the man of faith and the friend of God, comes to an event in life which everyone dreads, the death of his nearest and dearest. The passage records the death of Sarah, Abraham's princess. In the course of the message, Dr. Cairns will demonstrate that Abraham had feelings, same as any man. He wept before the body of his beloved wife. Yet, because he had a hearty faith in his God, Abraham was able to experience light in the face of death. Only a man who truly knows God can do that. May the Lord teach us all to keep our eyes on our God, even in the face of such a trial. Before Dr. Cairns comes to the message, we invite your attention to a devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century preacher C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Fear to Fear. The text is Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 8. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Whenever fear comes in and makes us falter, we are in danger of falling into sin. Conceit is to be dreaded, but so is cowardice. Dare to be a Daniel. Our great captain should be served by brave soldiers. What a reason for bravery is here. God is with those who are with him. God will never be away when the hour of struggle comes. Do they threaten you? Who are you that you should be afraid of a man that shall die? Will you lose your situation? Your God whom you serve will find bread and water for his servants. Can you not trust him? Do they pour ridicule upon you? Will this break your bones or your heart? Bear it for Christ's sake, and even rejoice because of it. God is with the true, the just, the holy, to deliver them, and he will deliver you. Remember how Daniel came out of the lion's den, and the three holy children out of the furnace. Yours is not so desperate a case as theirs, but if it were, the Lord would bear you through and make you more than a conqueror. Fear to fear. Be afraid to be afraid. Your worst enemy is within your own bosom. Get to your knees and cry for help, and then rise up saying, I will trust and not be afraid.
Mighty heart.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to tell you that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, emails, and phone calls we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS Audio Magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of LTBS Audio Magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a special feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did the Sabbath change to the first day? How do we know that the Bible is the Word of God? Is the emerging church dangerous? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Joseph Parker, the great English preacher, once commented, man's final requirement of man is a grave. Certainly, Abraham found that out for himself as he came to buy a cave, the cave of Machpelah, in Mamre, just outside Hebron, in which to bury Sarah. Abraham had endured many trials. He had sustained many losses, the loss of his homeland, the loss of his family in that land, and even in Canaan, the loss of the choicest pastures for his sheep. But now, he sustains the severest loss of all. After perhaps a century or more of marriage, he had to face the cold intrusion of death into his home to snatch away his beloved Sarah. Whether he was absent from home, perhaps at Beersheba, or merely out in the fields tending his sheep, it would appear from the text of Genesis 23 that Abraham was not with Sarah when she died. We read that he came to mourn for Sarah. How often that happens. We can't doubt that it happens in the wise providence of God, that after a lifetime of loyal service to a devoted spouse, a husband or a wife just happens either to be gone from home or out of the room or temporarily for some reason, great or small, just not there when his or her partner takes flight to eternity. For a while, that absence adds great pain to the mourner's sorrow and grief. And it may well have done so in the case of Abraham. So let's follow the patriarch to his home on that fateful day when he gets the news of the death of his beloved princess. He hastens to her bedside, but it's obviously too late. At 127 years of age, Sarah is dead. She's the only woman in all of Scripture whose age at death is recorded for us. And the Holy Spirit records that age at her death in a very suggestive way. Literally translated, the beginning of this chapter says, the years of the lives of Sarah were 127 years. And standing there alone with the corpse of his late wife, Abraham must have recalled those lives. There was her life in Ur of the Chaldees. There was her life waiting in the sort of limbo of Haran. Then there was her life in Canaan. He would have remembered her life in the years of frustration as she endured deep disappointment and constant mockery at her childlessness. But he also remembered her life in those days when God made her to laugh. And he could hear that happy, tinkling laughter as the Lord fulfilled his promise and renewed her youth to make her the mother of the boy Isaac. No doubt, most of all, he remembered her in connection with that birth. He recalled Sarah and her natural life. He saw the progression of life And though she retained her beauty and her physical appearance to an amazing degree, nonetheless, he had to agree with her when she said, some 40 years before this, "I am old." And he saw her decline, but then he saw the supernatural activity of God as God renewed not only her faith, but her very body and her physical processes, so that as he stood by her bedside with the corpse upon it, I have no doubt that Abraham, as he thought of the years of the lives of Sarah, thought of her natural life and her supernatural life. He thought of her life without God, and he thought of her life in Christ by grace. And I say in Christ because in all the Old Testament, no one ever had a clearer revelation of the Lord Jesus than Abraham. Abraham thinks of all these lives of Sarah as he stands over her dead body. And as he thinks, he weeps. It's a significant fact. There is no record of Abraham weeping when he left Ur of the Chaldees at the command of God. He bade farewell to his family there without a tear. There is no record of Abraham weeping even when he had to expel his son Ishmael from the family home and hearth. There is no record of Abraham weeping even when at the command of God he ascended Mount Moriah there to offer Isaac as a burnt sacrifice unto the Lord. But now standing alone at the bed of his departed wife, we read that Abraham weeps because he knows that of all the losses he has ever sustained, this is the greatest loss of all. He could face the thought of putting his son Isaac to death on the altar on Mount Moriah because he fully believed that there would be an immediate resurrection. But Sarah will not rise from this bed. Her race is run. Her course is finished. Her pilgrimage is over. No doubt, as with everybody else in this position, at first, for Abraham, it's very difficult to believe that it can actually have happened. But through his agony and through his tears, Abraham realizes that Sarah has gone away, never to return. All that's left is a decaying corpse. It's time for a funeral. And so Abraham arranges to bury his dead out of his sight. He needs a grave. He owns land, and I realize this sort of undercuts the nice little theories that preachers say that the only ground Abraham ever owned in Canaan was a grave. That's just not true. He owns land far to the north in Shechem, according to Acts 7, verse 16. He has secured the rights to a number of wells or oases around the area. But he needs a place here in Hebron. The Hittites esteem him as a mighty prince, or literally as a prince of God. And this is one occasion where I think though the translation is absolutely accurate that the Prince of God in English would normally mean a mighty prince, I think that the children of Heth looked at Abraham and they saw a mighty man of God. They knew, as the king of Gerar had already confessed, that God is with you. You're a man who is a prince with God. They were glad to have him in their midst, and they were glad to offer their own sepulchres as a burying place for his wife. But it couldn't be that way. Abraham must look beyond this burial. This grave must be a testimony to his status as a pilgrim and as a man separated unto God. It must be a seed planted by faith in the promise of God that in his good time Abraham's posterity would come back to take the title to this entire land. And so he negotiates the purchase of the cave of Machpelah and the field in which it stands. He pays 400 shekels of silver to Ephron the Hittite for what will be his family's last meeting place here on earth. And there he lays Sarah to rest. Soon enough he's going to join her there, as will Isaac and Rebekah and Jacob and Leah. But all that's in the future. For now, all that concerns Abraham is that he has provided Sarah's remains with an earthly home and his posterity with a symbol of hope. As I consider Abraham as he appears in this chapter, I'm struck by two things. His human feelings. I have sought, as we have traced the life of this man, I have sought to emphasize that we have got to get beyond the marks of ink on a page. We have got to get beyond the cardboard character that we so often think these great men of God to be. He was a real flesh and blood man. And here you find this strong man who could do what very few men of God could ever do, and truss up his own son and be ready to plunge a knife into him because God so commanded, and do it without a tear, to see this strong man broken and weeping like a child, mourning that his princess, as Sarah means, has gone. We see his human feelings. But hand in hand with those feelings, and this is always very important, you see his hearty faith. In other words, we see the man, Abraham, and we see the saint, Abraham. And the great thing about Abraham is that they are one and the same. The man was a true saint, and the saint was a true man. For Abraham didn't cease to believe when he was stricken by grief. Remember that. When he was deeply pained, when his heart was breaking, when his world had shattered, when for that moment, I have no doubt whatsoever that in the mind of the great man of God there was the thought, life is not worth the living anymore. If you don't understand that, all I can say is you have never been in enough houses of death. You've never stood with enough widows or widowers to see their nearest and dearest taken from them and to realize that their heart has been dragged from their body, as it were. But in the midst of this grief and deep and terrible suffering, Abraham did not cease to believe. That's the key to the man being a saint.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.